All right, our daughter has invaded the redacted set tonight as we're starting. She said, I want to see the show. And she brought me a special bow tie that she just made for me. My how old are you? You're 20? How old are you? My baby Eve. My baby Eve is 7. She's made me a little bow tie. Okay, now you saw the beginning of the show. I love you. Okay. Go with your sister.
Bye, baby.
Bye.
Love you.
Welcome, everyone, to Redacted on this Taco Tuesday. Our children have invaded the redacted set. Good to see all of you guys here as we need to hug our loved ones even more strongly than ever because, gosh knows, it seems like Europe is barreling us towards World War III at this hour. France about to send 2,000 soldiers to Ukraine. This is a red line, of course, for Vladimir Putin, who says any soldiers that arrive in Ukraine, this is the start of World War III. So great news there. So we're on the precipice tonight.
Plus, is the Pentagon hiding suicides in the military? Yes, they are. We have a guest on telling us why exactly that is the case. And this is more than ever an anti-war segment in order to protect our armed forces.
And we're also going to talk about President Trump now suing ABC News. This could open a floodgate here, I really think. And we're going to see the pieces of this defamation lawsuit. We've got some big news on that, plus the Supreme Court weighing in on what Texas is trying to do with illegal alien invasion at the southern U.S. border. Plus, where the heck is Kate Middleton?
Yes, we are going to give you an update on Kate Middleton because now the UK is saying that this is Russian disinformation, information about the king, information about Kate Middleton. As soon as they say those words, Russian disinformation, we know to look there, right? So whether or not you want to, whether you're into the palace intrigue or not, we're doing it. You're sticking around and you're going to like it. Redacted starts right now. We know where our children are, even if we don't know where Kate Middleton is. This has become a funny joke. I mean, it's not at all a funny story because the palace is lying, but it's a funny joke because I'm the only woman on this show. I work with a bunch of dudes. They think that it's a little bit, you know, girl stuff.
But hey,
I'm bringing them around. Hey, you didn't call us dudes this morning.
Wait a minute.
In defense of that.
Just because you're the only
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, let Philip go ahead.
I was just gonna say that as much as people might like to pretend like they don't care about that topic, about 500,000 people, last I checked, watched the video we did on that. So you know they can't hide when they watch it. We exactly. see it.
Exactly right.
It's not a gender. It's not a question of gender.
Okay, but none of you really knew much about it until I brought the. It reminds me of that scene from Tommy Boy where the Carpenters song comes on. They're like lame. I can handle it if you can.
And they start singing.
They're singing along. You want to know about Kate Middleton. Yes, you do. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about more things, though, than just that. So,
all right. Yeah, we are. We're going to get to all of that. But first, let's talk about this. So France is about to send 2,000 soldiers to Ukraine, according to the Foreign Intelligence Service Director Naryshkin, commenting just a few minutes before our show started tonight, French troops going to Odessa. Why Odessa? Well, because if you get Odessa, then you literally close off the entire Black Sea, right? If Russia controls the entire southern port section of Ukraine, in addition to Crimea, and now they control Odessa, then it's game over. What do you have left? You have a landlocked country with no port of entry. So yes, France going to send 2,000 soldiers, according to Naryshkin, just a few minutes before our show started here. This is unbelievable. And of course, we know now that Senator Lindsey Graham wants young Ukrainians to die. Europe has a death wish, ramping up war footing against Russia. Putin's warning, if you do this, World War III is coming. Sure seems like crap's about to hit the fan. Am I wrong? And Newsweek today publishing this. Here's a direct clash. This map shows U.S. cities Russia would strike first if war broke out. Take a look at this. So pay attention to your screen here, because here's where Newsweek thinks that Americans will be hit one step away from a full-scale World War III. So take a look at your map here. Is any of these cities pop up for you?
Yes.
Where you live near any of these cities here? Again, a nuclear exchange would be disastrous for all involved. The Federation of American Scientists says that Russia has around 5,500 nuclear weapons compared with the U.S.'s 5,428. But look at this. Okay, Peterson Air Force Base. Get away there. Texas, the Pantex plant. A lot of these, of course, military installations. San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Jim Creek Naval Radio Station. Got to take out the analog stuff. Washington, D.C., Raven Rock Mountain Complex. You know what I find interesting, though, is like Ohio's not on this list. Like Ohio, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I guess they feel like they could. But this is like what Newsweek is telling us. These are the most likely targets that Russia will hit in a nuclear exchange.
Okay. I think that it also is the most likely targets, the places that would be listening to the Washington Post. Right.
Washington Post.
Or the people that would be listening to this kind of war rhetoric are in those cities the most likely to be in those urban centers.
Maybe. I mean, if you look at, I mean, think about, you know, like Montana, North Dakota, of course, Hawaii, no Alaska, though. Alaska's so close to Russia there. So that's good news. Well, the U.S., the EU, though, is calling for a war economy. So the EU's boss, you guys see this story, say the bloc will double its production of artillery shells by the end of 2024, Charles Michel has said. The EU must drastically ramp up defense production to help Ukraine.
Okay. So, don't we have that already? It feels like they're just selling it to us.
Selling
basically.
What?
Like the idea that what we've got is acceptable. And yeah, this is a war economy. We need it. And stop complaining about how inflation is high, unemployment is high, and interest rates are high.
This is Putin's problem because you're paying more for all of your food now. It's Putin's problem. We're in a war economy. The EU must drastically ramp up defense production to help Ukraine in its conflict with Russia. The call comes as Kiev has increasingly warned of ammunition shortages. So this is an opinion piece in a Belgian newspaper. And Michel claims that it's a serious military threat to our European continent and global security. If we do not get the EU's response right and do not give Ukraine enough support to stop Russia, we are next, he says. For decades, Europe has failed to invest sufficiently in our security, although they've expanded NATO tremendously. What are you talking about? We urgently need a radical and irreversible shift in our thinking towards a strategic security mindset. So start ramping it up.
Which, you know, incidentally hands us a lot of power over your lives and the shortages of your resources and the stretch of your dollar. But that's the way it goes. Your resources and the stretch of your dollar.
Exactly.
But that's the way it goes.
Hearing myself back. The newspaper also says...
David, you're looping back.
Oh, we're looping back in. Hearing myself back in.
The newspaper also says...
David, you're looping back.
Oh, we're looping back in.
Hold on, sorry. Also says David, you're looping back.
Hearing double audio there. But the New York Times, I love this part of the story. The New York Times says U.S. assessment in early February, which stated that without replenishment, Ukraine's air defenses could operate only until March 2024, which is right now.
Yeah. Okay.
So you mean to tell me you're going to ramp up production so much so that you're going to be able to get this to the front lines right now? No. As we know from military experts who've been on our show on a regular basis, this would be a year or more out. So stop fooling everyone with this, that you need to do it right now. So Ukraine's air defenses are imminently about to be done with ammunition. Won't have enough. Won't be able to stop anything that's coming. So now you see, to me, this is like the paragraph that stands out more than anything. Because now you see why France, you see the EU, you see NATO really ramping up this war rhetoric over the past few weeks. Why? Like, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Oh, it's coming from the fact that Ukraine's air defenses are going to be empty in days. And they've completely run out of men. And now they're about to lose Odessa. They're about to lose the southern port towns here. It's game over unless the EU can step in, start sending soldiers, which is apparently what France is wanting to do here. So how are we going to pay for this in Europe, by the way? How is Europe going to afford this? I mean, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Europe's not doing very well. I mean, Germany's in a recession.
Yes.
People are paying ridiculous amounts for food, rent. it's not going well in Europe for people.
Interest rates are through the roof. Most people's housing costs have doubled or tripled because so many people in Europe were used to low interest rates. So they had adjustable rate mortgages that have doubled, tripled. People can't pay their housing expenses.
I've got a solution for you.
Well, I wonder how much of it is a bit of a proxy for, like, the U.S. needs the war to continue because we have arms manufacturers that need to get paid a lot. We've got all these hundreds sitting around. Like, so how much do you think is, like, the U.S. is pushing France to get involved? Because if Ukraine falls, then that war ends. So somebody needs to escalate it somehow. We need to get more people in there to keep the machine running.
Right.
And that's where Lindsey Graham comes in. We'll get to him in a second here. So they really need this ramping up here. But how are we going to pay for this? Well, how's Europe going to pay for this? Here's an idea. The EU is proposing, how about we take 90% of all of those frozen Russian assets and put it right back into the European Peace Facility? So what is the European Peace Facility? Just another, that's a nice way of saying our war footing, our war economy to go after Russia. So we'll steal frozen assets. I mean, you're setting up a whole new world order when you can literally go in and just steal citizens of another country, steal their assets and claim that it is that they're oligarchs.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're going to use that money in billions of dollars in assets. And we're going to use that money and throw it right into war.
Well, it's one step.
Like they should at least issue letters of marque for the new privateers, you know, because that's basically what that is. It's just legal piracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how long until it goes towards European citizens or anyone who's not Russian for wrongthink, for what they call supporting the war, for what they call not being supportive of their side? This is a very slippery slope that should scare us all.
Yeah. So now Putin is warning of World War III, full-scale World War III, if the West sends troops to Ukraine. Putin says, I think anything is possible in today's world, and it's clear to everyone that this would be one step from a full-scale World War III. A recording of a conversation also between German military officers that was recently published by Russian media revealed that the UK has soldiers already on the ground in Ukraine, helping Ukrainian forces using Storm Shadow missiles, which have a range of 155 miles, making them capable of hitting targets throughout Crimea. And the Polish foreign minister just admitted the very same thing in a television discussion that, yes, we are. There's already NATO forces already here.
Żołnierze krajów NATO już są na Ukrainie i chciałbym serdecznie podziękować ambasadorom tych krajów, które takie ryzyko podjęły. One same wiedzą najlepiej, które to są.
Bo pan nie powie przecież.
Bo ja w odróżnieniu od niektórych polityków europejskich tego nie będę mówił.
So they're already here. How many more of these people do we need to come forward and admit that this is the case, right? So right now, though, we're seeing the UK is telling Ukraine to really focus your attacks on Crimea. So this is amazing. So over the past few days, we've had the Times of London has embedded itself with the UK's defense secretary. And this piece is amazing. I mean, what a piece of propaganda. So the Times of London travels with him into Poland, and then he takes a train into Ukraine, and they're there the whole time. And they were supposed to be heading towards Odessa, but a missile strike apparently was about to happen, and they found out about it, they knew about it, and pulled back at the last minute. So UK's defense minister heading to Odessa, which is going to be the new target right now, and apparently a missile strike was incoming. The Times of London reports that they pulled back on that trip almost immediately. When a missile strike did hit, were they going to target the defense minister of the UK? Or was it a warning shot? We don't know, but we know what you're up to. And you're there basically meeting UK forces, trying to drum up more support, trying to bring more awareness, trying to get more money and weapons and support inside of Ukraine. And in this piece, Britain is advising President Zelensky to hold the line in the east and focus on the Black Sea and Crimea, according to the Times of London. So
that's
strike,
insane.
So strike Crimea. Strike people who, I mean, just went through another election and verifiably said, we are Russian.
Mm-hmm.
We are, when you wanted to put your Western-backed coup and your Western-backed puppet government here in 2014, we voted against that. We voted to become part of the Russian Federation. And you want to bomb us? You want to attack Crimea? So that's the focus. That's what the UK government is telling Zelensky. Target Crimea now. Just to hear, just give you an idea of the map, right? This is current territory that's being held by Russia. This area is verifiably Russia. They just voted in an election this weekend, overwhelmingly. But here, all in red.
Hold the line. I mean, that's the line. That's where Russia intended to come in and set the line when the special military operation began. And that's the line. The part that's sort of light blue is still contested. That's all they're holding because Russia intends to still go to those places, and that's where the war ends, in it, as they have stated.
Well, keep it up there for a second, Philip. Like, look at Odessa, right? So now what you're going to do is, and as Colonel McGregor and others on our show have said, if you don't stop this madness, what Russia is going to do is going to move into that area through the Black Sea and take over Odessa, completely close off your southern port. You'll be a round, you'll be a, you know, an encircled country, a landlocked country. You won't be a country anymore. So you keep pushing this, keep pushing it. This is about to happen. It's unbelievable. So there's been intense fighting in Donetsk over the past few days, in Bakhmut, on in these areas. Maybe that's the line that he's talking about. These areas have been hit. People going to the polls and to vote were also struck. Polling places also attacked in Russia. So on all of this, though, we need somebody from the West, right? We need somebody to fly in there and try to really drum up more support. So we need Senator Lindsey Graham. We need a warmonger to fly into Kiev and to call on Ukrainian lawmakers to keep fighting, keep fighting, keep dying. We need young Ukrainians to keep dying. And that's exactly what happened. Lindsey Graham flew into Kiev. He's in Ukraine right now, and he's really urging them. I mean, this Washington Post piece is really unbelievable. He is urging Ukraine to pass their new mobilization law to lower the age of conscription. He's like, look, you guys, he couldn't believe it. He's like, we need to have men under 27 years old fighting. I don't care if they're students.
Meanwhile, the Western press has all but admitted that there are towns in Ukraine that are totally devoid of men now, that they are empty of men.
Yeah.
Even, I believe it was the Washington Post that published that on Monday. I'd have to look again through my
notes.
I think so.
I think it was. Yeah, we linked to it in the newsletter this morning, right? So
I think it was Monday.
Or Monday. But, I mean, can you imagine? So we need, he basically said, I can't understand. He's like, I'm asking Zelensky here, like, I can't understand why you're exempting men under 27 years old from fighting. You need to send these men to die.
That's awful. I mean, he should go.
Yeah, he should. We should put Graham out there.
He should go first.
Lindsey Graham should go to the front
lines. He's probably the average age of the current soldier.
Right.
So. Good point.
So Graham called for swift legislative action in Ukraine. Even as, I'm going to read from the Washington Post piece now. Even as U.S. lawmakers remain unable to reach their own consensus on aid for Ukraine, his first trip to the Ukrainian capital since he abruptly turned against the $60 billion aid package for the country last month. As he issued his advice on the draft, Graham, who met with Ukrainian President Zelensky on Monday, could offer no true assurances about any pending aid package. Instead, though, he's more optimistic than ever that something will come out of the House of Representatives. But he says, I hope those who are eligible to serve in the Ukrainian armed forces will join. I can't believe it's 27 years old, he says. You're fighting for your life, so you should serve. Anybody under 25, so 18 to 25, which largely held for students, no. We need to pass this law immediately so these young men can go and die.
Can you imagine how scared you'd be if you're a young boy that age?
In Ukraine?
Or a mom of a boy that age? He lacks sort of basic human decency at this point. Go ahead, David.
Well, and Lindsey Graham is not saying anything about the fact that they're stopped elections there. So now if people hate this rule, they're going to be like, well, now that Zelensky's doing this, there's no way we would vote for him again. They have no choice but to accept it because they can't vote him out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Good point.
Yeah. And basically Zelensky admitting over the past 24 hours that Ukraine is in a better position with a dictator, basically. really pushing for democracy there. And meanwhile, Poland is admitting, you know, we talk about 500,000 dead, at least, in Ukraine. An entire generation of young men, slightly younger men, wiped away. Polish general, retired Polish general, just came out and said, we got to stop talking in terms of like 500,000. No, no, the losses are in the millions for Ukraine. He says, Ukraine's losses in the conflict with Russia should be counted in the millions, former chief of staff of the Polish general staff has claimed. They're losing the war, and they don't have the resources to sustain the fight against Moscow, he admits. There are no miracles in war, he says. It's in the millions. So that's why Lindsey Graham is there. I just find the timing of all of this very interesting. Obama flies to 10 Downing Street yesterday. He's meeting with the UK leadership. Then you have Lindsey Graham in Kiev talking to Zelensky about lowering the age of your draft. Emmanuel Macron in France about to send thousands of troops to Odessa. Something very fishy is happening right now.
And the idea of a war mentality, then, selling this all of this conflict to us as a necessary state of being. Incidentally, I've been rereading 1984 this week, and something about this war mentality, I went back and looked at my notes, and George Orwell warned us about this. He talked about how the party made it necessary to have the mentality appropriate to a state of war. He said, it does not matter whether the war is actually happening, and since no decisive victory is possible, it does not matter whether the war is going well or badly. All that is needed is that a state of war should exist. A war mentality was in 1984. We're living it. We're here. And why do they do that? Because the consciousness of being at war, he says, and therefore in danger, makes the handing over of all power to a small caste system seem natural, unavoidable condition of survival.
Yeah.
So accept the war mentality if you want to. But I think when we get to this next segment and we talk about who this actually costs, what population is hurting because of it, you may not support war quite so easily. So we're going to get to that in a minute.
Peter D says redacted works for CNN. No. If we work for CNN, we'd be pushing for war. In fact, we're pushing for the exact opposite. We're anti-war. CNN makes its money off of that. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Maybe you haven't seen CNN in about two decades.
Yeah, or how they were founded on war. Klaus Schwab. Hey, Klaus, good to see you in our chat.
Oh, there's a bug.
Says they've been drafting teenagers already.
It's a biting bug.
Yeah, that bug flew right at the camera lens earlier. It came like from the back and flew right at the lens in like 3D. I was like, whoa, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like a pterodactyl.
You got it. Yeah.
Say I'm anti-war and I just killed a bug. But look, it's biting me here. Can you see? Like,
yeah. I'm sorry. We can't say that. We kill bugs all day long. So
yeah,
that.
Playing Helldivers, you kind of kill bugs.
This is war.
Exactly. Right in our own studio right now. Please subscribe to the channel. We hope you're subscribed. We're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So this is, yes, we are live when people are asking. People are saying, save Natalie. Save her.
We would have cut that out if we weren't live.
I'll hear from the other room like, oh, my God, come here. And I'm like, is someone being killed? What's going on? There's a spider. There, I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, well, I can't reach it. But whatever that is, it's I'm itchy here and it's on my so anyway. Okay, I think we got it though.
It's an illegal invasion.
I won the war.
It's an illegal invasion of our studio.
Okay.
Biden must be in charge of our studio right now. All right, we've got more news to get to here on your Tuesday. We're going to look at these the Pentagon hiding suicide numbers. Why are they doing that? Why is the Biden administration being completely shady about this? It's completely un-American, and we're going to talk about that. Also, President Trump just launched a massive lawsuit against ABC News. Could this bring down the mainstream media? We're going to tell you about this, and we're going to have a discussion about what this means for the future of media. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at Shopify, because if you have an idea to share something with the world and sell something to the world, then you might want to check out Shopify. In fact, the Redacted store even runs on Shopify. That's something that we weren't sure exactly how we were going to do it, because we're not experts in e-commerce, but Shopify made it super easy for us to bring the Redacted store to you. So if you have an idea like that, anything that you'd like to sell, friendship bracelets, slippers, shoes, whatever it is, then Shopify is the global commerce platform that will help you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch of your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to, oh my gosh, we just hit $1 million stage or 1 million orders, Shopify is there to help you grow. They help turn your browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. So right now you can go to Shopify because they power 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and their extensive help resources are there to help support your success every step of the way. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redacted. That's all lowercase. Once again, go to shopify.com/redacted to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. One more time, that's shopify.com/redacted. Is the Pentagon hiding military suicides? The Defense Department has repeatedly missed deadlines to report on suicide numbers in the military. Members of Congress are demanding that they comply and submit these long overdue reports. Joining me to discuss is Sergeant Dan McKnight. He served 13 years in the U.S. Marine Corps, U.S. Army, and Idaho National Guard. He also, his life's mission, I would say, is to speak out for military veterans, and he's the founder of Bring Our Troops Home. So thank you so much for joining me today.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Now, I know you also have news about your bill about bringing our troops home and Congress declaring war. So let's get to first, though, this report on suicides. Do you think the Pentagon has a reason for not being forthcoming with these suicide numbers?
Absolutely. See, the Pentagon is, if they're good at one thing, it's at hiding the facts. They haven't reported on the budget. They haven't reported on the trillions of dollars that they have seemed to lose every year when they do their audit. And they sure as heck aren't going to report accurately on the suicide rate of the members of the military in their charge. The report I found was, I thought it was very interesting when it talked about a very segmented percentage of the military, just people that participated in the armored cavalry or the tank divisions. That's all that they were looking for, was the numbers on those folks. And the DOD and the Pentagon couldn't even provide it, but they are putting together an AI program. I'll have you know, this is very exciting. To help combat suicide, they're using AI. Well, there's a better way to combat suicide in the military, and that's to provide them with the proper health and benefits and treatment, and then to quit abusing them with repeat deployments to missions that just don't make sense.
Right. So specifically, Congress is looking for this tank suicide, which you're right, is so segmented. It's a small population of people who, for whatever reason, may have a higher incidence of suicide. Can you extrapolate at all or even take a guess at why?
Oh, I have some pretty good ideas. I happen to have served in the mechanized infantry, which is the tanker segment that they're talking about here. Tankers are part of the Cold War era military posturing defense plan. The next war that we fight, or even the wars we're engaged in now, tankers aren't really part of that battle plan. They train and they live these lives in these 72-ton metal boxes to fight a war that isn't here anymore. It's a war of yesteryear. And then they go to Afghanistan, Iraq, Somalia, Yemen, Syria, and they serve as military police or convoy security, driving wheeled vehicles, not even performing the job that they trained and signed up to do. Tankers have kind of been pushed aside as the catch-all in the military. And when I was in the 3rd Infantry Division in Savannah, Georgia, the pride of being a tanker, they identify, that was their identity. We are tankers. We are the mechanized infantry. We are the strike force, the first in armored defense force of the United States military. And now they're not. Now they are convoy commanders, and they're leading missions in wheeled vehicles and being hit by IEDs and being used for something other than what they've trained. And the tankers also have been part of this depleted uranium problem in the military, where the weapons that they use, the sabot rounds, they're depleted uranium, and there's a high cancer rate among tankers. Just like Tomcat pilots in the Navy, the cancer rates are exceptionally high, and I think that has a lot to do with the suicide rates. But that's probably why they won't report the numbers. One, they probably just don't know because they don't care. And two, what they've probably found is alarming.
Oh my goodness. Now, I know a little bit about the history of PTSD and how it was literally created to help Vietnam veterans who had a high rate of depression because they had seen such horrors in their lives and realized that that horror was for naught, for lack of a better description, right? And so are we seeing something now similar to that because we've had these pointless, endless wars?
Certainly, there is no member of the military that has been to war that will be pro-war, right? Once you've seen those atrocities, you can no longer support the concept of war, even though we know it's in our heart of hearts, we know it's necessary at times. Mm-hmm. You can't be a pro-war veteran that served in war. And the problem that we have is when we come home, we have to try and reconcile what we did. And many of us do sleep comfortably at night, knowing that what we did was for the defense of our country and to save the homeland and all the things that were sold in the recruiting videos. But in the quiet of the night, and when you're alone with just your thoughts, and you're trying to reconcile it all and put it all together and put it in its proper place in the proper boxes, that reconciliation doesn't come with the most important piece, the closing, because we don't know what we were doing there. General Sopko, the investigating general that's been made famous from the Afghanistan papers, he said about Afghanistan and Iraq, we just didn't know what we were doing there. We didn't have an understanding of the culture, the mission. We didn't have a definition of success. We changed strategies every 18 months. And it's hard to get closure. It's hard to put all the pieces in the right boxes when at the end of the day, you don't know what the big puzzle is supposed to look like. You don't know what the picture is. You know, imagine trying to put together a puzzle with no known outcome, without knowing what it's going to be when you're done. It's just a jumbled mess, and it's hard to connect the pieces.
I imagine that's on purpose, though, because if you were to tell the military, we actually don't have a plan, but you go do this thing and you go do this thing, then that would create discord and people would not want to do it. And what strikes me listening to you talk about what this is like for each and every individual who's been through it is the gap between the sort of iPhone users in Washington, D.C., who are just saying more war funding, and the actual bodies on the ground. And it's heartbreaking.
Absolutely. The rank and file of the military, the lower enlisted, the junior officers, they're the ones that pay the human toll of war. When the lieutenant colonels, generals, command sergeant majors, the upper levels and the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., for them, it's a chess game. They're moving pieces on a board. And it's the ones that pay the ultimate human price of war that get to bring those mental scars home.
Now, I didn't know about this group of tanker drivers that might have this high rate of suicide. Do you think there's probably other groups that are having high rates of suicide for similar reasons that we're not hearing about?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mentioned just briefly that the Tomcat pilots from the Navy, and I know this from personal experience, they are flying around their entire career basically on a super high-powered X-ray machine with no protection between them and the radar, the FLIR, the forward-looking infrared system that sits right underneath their body.
Oh, my gosh.
They are dying at alarming rates. And those that aren't dying from the cancer are dying at their own hand because they've seen 60, 70% of their own graduating class die from these terrible, terrible diseases, cancer that just riddles their intestines, their colon, their testicles. It starts from their nether regions and works their way throughout their body. And before they even know it hit them, it's metastasized to a stage 4. And so I would say absolutely there's different segments in the military, but the number that we just need to know and that we hear about in the news every single day is 22 a day, right? And there's some people that say that there's 22 veterans every single day that commit suicide. I think that number is low. I think it's low because it's underreported. There's a large homeless population of the veteran community that we don't even keep track of. We're too busy putting illegal immigrants into beautiful hotels in New York City, but the veterans are living on the street, and when they die, there's no record. There's no one there to mourn them. The veterans groups do a good job of rallying their members and trying to put together a simple burial for them, but nobody tracks those numbers. Nobody tracks the angry veteran that's living in his basement that hasn't come out into society for days at a time. Those numbers aren't tracked.
Goodness. Now, your main project is called Bring Our Troops Home. It's a legislation that would prevent the National Guard in each state from going to war without a formal war declaration from Congress. The bill was passed in the Senate in Idaho, but it was killed in a committee yesterday, I believe. Can you tell us about that progress?
Yeah, absolutely. The legislation is called Defend the Guard, and our organization is the national institutional sponsor of the bill, and we're in over 30 states. We did pass the Idaho State Senate 2 weeks ago, 27-8, a pretty large bipartisan lopsided victory. It went to the House of Representatives to the Transportation and Defense Committee, where we had the language of the bill approved unanimously in that committee a few years ago, but in resolution form where it didn't have any teeth. That same committee yesterday heard from, there was probably 30 people that testified for, on the bill, either for or against it. And every single person that testified against the bill was a lieutenant colonel, colonel or general, or a command sergeant major, or an administrative bureaucrat, or a union thug. Everybody that testified for the bill was lower enlisted, line members of the military, junior officers, or family members or spouses of veterans.
What is the argument against this? What's the argument?
Money.
To not declare
Money.
War and just send people to war?
Everybody says the same thing. You're right, we should declare war, but we just don't do that anymore. Well, we have a mechanism for that, Natalie. It's called an amendment to the Constitution. But they don't want that. They don't want to make this requirement of Congress to declare war because they think that the federal government will take money away from the state of Idaho or whatever state passes this because their National Guard is no longer able to go fight these wars of choice. And that's what we're doing in Somalia, in Afghanistan, Yemen, Syria, Iraq. These are wars of choice. And that's the argument, is that we would lose federal dollars. Well, personally, I'm tired of being, first of all, having my money taken and then used to bribe or threaten me with it later. One state has to stand up, and when one state does stand up, the rest of the states will follow.
Has it passed already in Arizona? I thought that it was passed in at least two states, or it's working its way through New Hampshire and Arizona, right?
Yeah, it's working its way through about 30 states, but the best success so far has been the Arizona Senate. It's passed twice. The Speaker of the House, Ben Toma in Arizona, who is running for Congress, and we're going to do our best to make sure that doesn't happen. He's killed it in the House twice. The New Hampshire House of Representatives, the largest legislative body in the Western world, has passed it, and we're waiting for the Senate. And then it's moving forward in Maryland in a committee. It's moving forward in Georgia in the committee. Idaho passed the Senate. Montana, it's moving forward. It's moving in different places, but it's all moving together. No one's passed both bodies and been on the governor's desk yet.
Well, you can see how these two things are related. If fewer people go to war, we'll have these fewer suicides based on unprotected troops. So you can support Dan on X. You can find him at Troops Home US, or bringourtroopshome.us as well, and find a way to either tell your elected representative to pass it, to look into it, to have Dan for a meeting or whatever it is, because I know you're working so hard to bring awareness to this issue. Is there anything else you'd like to leave us with?
Absolutely. If you want to support the movement, the best way would be to go to defendtheguard.us and sign the petition. We deliver, hand deliver these petition signatures in every state that we do battle in. And once you sign the petition, you'll be asked to just put your name on an email that will be sent directly to your representatives in whatever state you live in. We've made it easy for you. We have pre-written emails. You can write your own email. And then share the message. And if you feel like donating and chipping in a couple bucks, there's a link to do that too. This is a small donor funded effort. And we are a very small, lean organization. We don't waste a penny on anything that doesn't move the legislation forward.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming back on Redacted and providing this great context that I would not have been able to find for myself. It's a pleasure. And please come back on Redacted another time.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Dan. Unbelievable. Just heartbreaking. And they won't tell you about it. Thanks so much, Dan, for your courage and what you're doing. So many veterans here who watch our show as well. And I think, you know, he's right. The most vociferous individuals who are anti-war are those who have fought.
Yeah, people who have seen it.
Who have seen it before, exactly. So
it's haunting. It's haunting to think about the people who just, like, say stupid stuff on Twitter who don't know at all, and they're just computer warriors.
Yeah. Well, we've got more news to get to here on your Tuesday. Let us know where you're joining us from, by the way, in the chat room. We stream the show every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, so please subscribe to the channel. If you're new to the channel, how many newbies do we have here? If you're new, let us know in the chat. Say, I'm new, and we will welcome you with open arms. We don't have an agenda. We are anti-war. That is our only agenda here. And we're anti corporate media, actually.
Mm-hmm. Anti-propaganda.
Anti-propaganda.
We are pro-studiers.
Very pro-truth.
Pro-truth. Yes. Yeah. We try to go where the truth takes us. That's our goal. And so that's what we try to cover here on the show. So please let us know if you're new here. Let us know in the chat room. We will welcome you with open arms.
We're studious nerds. So as my daughter calls me, a Poindexter. So if you're a Poindexter too, you're welcome, welcome here. You found your people.
Someone in the chat, Tim Spiker, says I'm old. Frank says I'm UK new. All right, Frank, welcome to the show. Nice to see you, Frank. Welcome.
Thank you.
Someone's from joining us from Detroit, from Belgium, Croatia, Ohio, Rochester, Brazil. Got people in Kentucky,
Nigeria, Stockholm. Thank you so much for joining us.
Alabama, Canada, Germany. Nice to see all of you guys tonight from Ontario, Canada. And who, let's see, Laura Blankenship, Lars Blankenfell says, I love Redacted. Well, we love you. Thank you guys so much. You guys, you know, I was, just thinking about our audience and I, you know, I love the interaction that you guys provide here. And I think it's amazing to be able to have this back and forth with you guys and, really appreciate our audience here on Rumble, on YouTube and on X. So thank you guys so much.
All right. And if you missed it, we killed a bug earlier that was on the set. And I'm itchy everywhere with the thought of it. You know, when you see a bug and you can't, like, did I actually get bitten here? I can't. I'm a little like that. So anyway.
People wonder why you're like anti-bug and you're anti-spider.
I know. Well, I'm not anti-spider. I like spiders. You know, they're all pollinators. They serve a purpose. But that one, you saw it. It was coming right at me. It was like a bot. It might have not even been real.
It's a giant mosquito.
It was literally trying to kill me.
Someone it was literally trying to kill you.
I almost died right here on this set.
Talk about a drama. Okay. Drama queen. Hey, yeah, we got more news to get to. Trump suing the ABC News. Illegal alien invasion. We're going to show you this unbelievable video and a major Supreme Court decision this afternoon. It's not a permanent decision, but it's a pretty big deal in Texas. We'll get to that coming up here in a second.
But first, we want to tell you about our show sponsor over at Provia, because, of course, if you or someone you know is suffering from premature hair thinning or hair loss, well, it's a problem for a lot of people. Stress, diet, genetics, life in general contributing to the problem. But there is a solution for you to check out. We want to introduce you to Provia. It's a real solution that delivers on its promise without the harsh side effects, unwanted chemicals, and no need for a prescription. Provia uses a safe natural ingredient called Procapil to effectively target the three main causes of premature hair thinning and loss. It supports healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy follicle anchoring to your scalp. So Provia guarantees more hair on your head than in the shower or on your comb. It's effective for men and women of any age and safe on colored, treated, and styled hair. And it's just that easy. So check them out right now. You'll save over 50%, plus you'll get free shipping on Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/redacted. And every package includes a full 60-day supply of Provia serum for daily use, plus the Provia Super Concentrate for faster, more noticeable results. And every order includes your choice of a free gift right now at checkout. Provia works, guaranteed, or your money back 100%. So don't wait. Order now and get free shipping. That's proviahair.com/redacted.
Thank you to our show sponsor for supporting independent journalism. We don't take money from, you know, Pfizer and Big Pharma or any place like that. So, you know, we have our small sponsors that are able to support us here on the Rumble platform and on YouTube. So we appreciate them. So anyway, we really, really appreciate them supporting independent journalism, especially covering the stories that we cover here. You know, so many sponsors run away from shows like ours because they'd rather be on the Today Show or Fox News or CNN.
Or just not be associated with controversial topics.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, our hats off to these guys. So whether it's like we have some sponsors here for dog food on the show, coffee, things like that, things that we all use. Like if you're thinking about picking some dog food up, you know, and thinking, hey, we could support a company that supports independent journalism. And you could do that. So anyway, just want to put that little plug in there.
These I don't guys, see Disney coming our way for a sponsorship anytime soon, to say it.
No, let's stay away from that. Especially after this next segment, because Disney owns ABC News. So Trump could destroy the mainstream media with this. Earlier today, Donald Trump sued ABC News for defamation. And this could have massive repercussions. Let's talk about this. So Donald Trump suing ABC News and host George Stephanopoulos, Snuffleupagus, for defaming him during an interview with Representative Nancy Mace.
Wait. Now we're going to see the leftist media all of a sudden caring about free speech again.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen,
exactly.
Right? They hate free speech until they're pushed for it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm getting some popcorn. Okay, please continue.
Know. Well, I mean, to me, and that's why I wanted to have this discussion, because I think there's a lot more here than just this lawsuit. I think it opens up a huge can of worms. And you're going to start to see the hypocrisy of the left in a moment. But so anyway, George Stephanopoulos. So I watched it this weekend, and or during this appearance, and I was kind of stunned by it. I didn't think, though, that it would lead to this. And I didn't think about it in these terms, but some eagle-eyed observers were paying attention. So Donald Trump suing ABC News and host George Stephanopoulos separately for defaming him during an interview with Representative Nancy Mace. Now, the lawsuit stems from Stephanopoulos's questioning of Mace about being a rape survivor. So I'm going to play the full clip here, or just a chunk of the interview here. Now, I want to see if you can spot the moment. Let me know in the comments if you can spot the moment you think that this would set off alarm bells where Trump would sue Stephanopoulos. Watch.
I still get judged for it today.
I'm asking you a very simple question.
You're shaming me for my political choices.
I'm asking you a question about why you endorse someone who's been found liable for rape.
Just it was not a criminal court.
It was a civil court.
And by the way, she joked about the judgment and what she was going to do with all that money. And I find that offensive.
I'm asking you
but
about
as
the man
a
who's...
rape victim who's been shamed for years now because of her rape, you're trying to shame me again by asking me this political question.
You've repeated that again and again.
I think it's offensive.
Again.
As a woman, I find it offensive.
I'm asking
my political choices. I've endorsed the man that I believe is best for our country. It's not Joe Biden. And you looked at the dueling rallies yesterday in Georgia. Lakin Riley's family was with Donald Trump. They weren't with Joe Biden. The same guy yesterday that apologized for calling her killer an illegal, who wasn't illegal. And here you are trying to shame a rape victim. I find it disgusting.
I mean, you keep saying I'm shaming you.
It is.
How is the question asking you about a presidential candidate who's
you're
been
asking a rape victim.
And there's no question about that. And you've courageously talked about that.
Because I've been raped. I think that's disgusting.
No, I'm questioning your political choices because you're supporting someone who's been found liable for rape. Actually, I'm not trying to
shame you. You are. That's exactly
you're not
what
answering
you're
the question.
I think it's disgusting.
Well, you're welcome to say that, but you also have to answer the question. Why are you supporting someone who's been found liable for rape?
I just answered your question.
What is the answer?
He was not found guilty in a criminal court of law. It was sexual abuse. It wasn't actually rape, by the way. And E. Jean Carroll joked about all the money she's going to get and made a mockery out of this case. And I think that's offensive. There's a reason why women don't come forward. And when you have someone who says that they're raped and they make a mockery out of this civil court judgment, it's offensive to other women. It makes it harder for other women to come forward when another woman has made a mockery of it.
You said women don't come forward because they are afraid. They are afraid
they're
because
judged
they are defamed
and shamed
by those
like you're
who
trying to shame me this
they
morning.
They are afraid to come forward, as you said, because they are defamed by those who commit the rape.
All right. So did you guys spot it? Did you guys spot it? Now, it's amazing to me. I actually surprised how many times I heard it, because now I'm going to play it again here. I added some subtitles. This is the moment that Donald Trump decided to sue George Stephanopoulos. Watch.
Asking you a very simple question.
You're shaming me for my political choices.
I'm asking you a question about why you endorse someone who's been found liable for rape.
It was not a criminal court. It was a civil court. And by the way, she joked.
So liable for rape.
Right.
No, that's not what they found. In fact, they didn't. They found him not liable for rape.
He was found liable for defamation.
So not rape.
No.
He was not found liable for rape. And judges and two separate juries, Stephanopoulos said, have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square that endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw? He was not found liable for rape. So this is amazing, because that statement is verifiably false. And here's the thing, right? So now this is very difficult, right? In a case like this, right, we can talk about this. The idea of defamation for a public figure, right? A public figure, Donald Trump is arguably one of the most famous people in the world. It's a different bar set for defamation for a public figure versus a non-public figure.
Right. And truth is an absolute defense, and he's lying.
Yeah.
George Stephanopoulos is not telling the truth.
And are we led to believe, though, that George Stephanopoulos doesn't know? Like, he's an anchor of ABC News This Week, arguably one of the biggest political shows in the world. He was also the White House communications director under Bill Clinton, if you'll recall.
Yes.
So the fact, the idea that he wouldn't know, and he said it multiple times.
And, well, intention matters here, and his intention clearly is to push this woman on why she's supporting Trump in order to prove that supporting Trump is a bad thing to do, which is so interesting, this line of questioning, because she could also say, I can't support Joe Biden, who has also been accused of sexual assault. And so why are you not asking me about Joe Biden's accusations? That's a fair question, right? So he's only asking, pushing her about supporting one person, and his intention is to crap on Donald Trump, for lack of a better way to put that.
So the lawsuit says these statements that Stephanopoulos just made were and remain false and were made by defendant Stephanopoulos with actual malice, with a reckless disregard for the truth, given that defendant Stephanopoulos knows that these statements are patently and demonstrably false, Trump's attorneys said.
It'd be pretty easy to prove, because probably you could rewind the tape and prove that he has covered this verdict before.
Right, right, exactly. You have tape. That's a great point. You have videotape of him covering this.
Mm-hmm.
And not just on that show on This Week, ABC's This Week, but also he's brought in as a political commentator across the network. He's their lead political commentator.
Right.
You mean to tell me the lead political commentator at ABC News doesn't know the facts of the case, in addition to which he's probably already covered it, in addition to which he served in the White House? By the way, I read his book years ago, because, you know, I like to read stuff by all these guys and to understand their thought process. He talked about how he literally grew a beard, because when he was White House press secretary, he couldn't handle the job. He became so nervous because he was like up there spouting lies every day.
Right.
So he broke out in a rash and he grew a beard. The reason that George Stephanopoulos grew a beard was because he was so nervous. I guess presumably because he was just spreading lies all the time. So he was just like, he couldn't handle it.
That's what happens when you spread propaganda in the Capitol. That's literally what happens in the Hunger Games to that snake lady.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess if you see George Stephanopoulos breaking out like in a red rash, you know, he's, you know what he's up to. I don't know. So anyway, that's the case. But I think that this opens up a can of worms for ABC News and for mainstream media, because imagine where this goes then. You have people like Morning Joe doing a whole segment on bloodbath, knowing that they're lying about it, knowing and purposefully taking something out of context. And now, look, I'm a free speech absolutist here, so I want to be very careful about what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But my point is that if they're knowingly doing this to defame him and to hurt him on purpose, and they're willfully doing this and knowingly doing it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's where we rise to the level of illegality.
Well, it wouldn't be criminal, but yes, you're right. It would be easy to prove defamation. So what will happen with this then? Because the way the media covers it will have to be self-serving. And so they will then revert to freedom of speech, and it will be for us, not for you. And that's where we'll see this hypocrisy.
Well, it could rise to the level of criminality, by the way, if it's election interference.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's a good point, because Michael Cohen went to jail for something like that.
Right.
So, okay.
So it might be civil. But anyway, my point is that this could really, really be, you know, these guys dance around on this on a regular basis. And certainly the left loves to go after using lawfare to try to bring these people down. I mean, look what's happening with January Sixers right now.
Yeah, they're not going to like it when it happens to them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It'd be interesting. So circle back on what you had said earlier, which is this, I mean, the hypocrisy of the left, this could really open up a can of whoop ass on them.
Right. You might have to come back around on that free speech stuff that you really hate so much. We'll see.
Yeah. Let us know your thoughts on this.
I don't know that it's really going to stick, to be honest, because Kaplan came out and said, like, a judge said that they see no difference in a rape or the sexual assault, that's just a legal definition. And because that judge said that, I could see where I guarantee you that's going to be their defense. They're going to come back and say, but Kaplan said there's no difference, so we don't have to make a distinction.
But it's not between rape or assault. It's between rape and defamation. He was only found guilty of defamation, and they weren't ever
he was found liable for the sexual assault. That's what him denying, unless I got it wrong, that's what him denying happened got him in the defamation case against E. Jean Carroll.
Was it?
I'll not sure exactly the fence walking on that. All I'm saying is, you know, we could have a Trump lawyer on about that if we reached out to his team on this, by the way.
But I can almost guarantee you that will be the defense that everybody comes to. Like if you watch the media, that's what they're going to bring up, is that statement by that judge. It wasn't like a legal decision, as far as I know. It was just like a clarification that the judge had made somewhere. And I almost guarantee you that's going to be what they lean into hard.
Right.
Bill Miller brings up a good point. Didn't Rittenhouse try to sue for defamation? I don't know if he ever actually brought the lawsuit. Did he? I mean, I know he was going to. I know he, like, Tucker had asked him if he was going to, and some. Did he ever actually bring the lawsuit?
I don't know.
Again, this is a really interesting discussion about public figures. Again, public figures versus private figures. If you're public, the bar for defamation, it's nearly impossible.
Kyle Rittenhouse was not one, so yes.
He was not a
public figure.
Public. Yeah. Well, he wasn't public until he was made public.
Right.
Right. But yeah, so. But yes, the bar is very, very high for public figures to prove defamation.
Right.
I mean, they've gone up. We've seen it against, you know, the New York Times. We've seen defamation lawsuits against the New York Times that have failed because they just, you know, it's free speech. So yeah.
I think that's all I absolutely want out of this, is the media to eat its words about free speech that it has been, you know, spouting for all of these years, especially during the pandemic. So yeah. We'll see.
Well, also, I would love for the media not to lie. I mean, if this even puts them in a pause moment where they're like, okay, I'm about to purposefully lie, like Rachel Maddow, and tell my audience something that's verifiably false about Russiagate or whatever. And if it forces them to pause and maybe not do that segment full of lies, and they have to, like, reflect for a moment before they open their mouth.
Yeah.
I think that would be a win as well.
Yeah.
Because they know it might cost them $1 billion if they talk out of their mouth, you know? Anyway, we've got more news to get to here on your Tuesday. We're going to talk about the illegal alien invasion, and a huge Supreme Court moment just about an hour and a half ago came down in the state of Texas that we want to talk about. And
we're going to bring you an update on whether or not the king is alive, whether or not Kate Middleton is alive, and why the UK government is now saying that all evidence to the contrary is Russian disinformation, when Russia had nothing to do with this. Once they say Russian disinformation, you know there's something to look. You should look behind the curtain, and that's exactly what we're going to do in talking about Kate Middleton.
We have a newsletter, though. Every day we publish a newsletter. It's totally free, and it's a perfect way to start your morning. If you'd like to subscribe to it, we'd love for you to do that. Just go to redacted.inc, put in your email address, and you'll receive a welcome email from us. And then, you know, you get it first thing in the morning over your cup of coffee. And we cover like 4 or 5 of the big stories of the day. Natalie and I work hard on it every morning. We talk about it over our cup of coffee first thing in the morning as we're putting the newsletter together. Natalie does a lot of the writing of it. I add some extra flair and editing in it, and it's just curated by us, just the two of us, to be honest with you. There's no one else working on it. It's just us, and we try to cover stories that you're not going to see other places. And like I said, you can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes. Plus, it's a great way for us to stay connected to you, because these big tech companies, you know, they've shut us down. We've been banned on YouTube before multiple times, and we didn't have a way to communicate with our audience. And if it wasn't for our newsletter, we were able to send out an email to you guys and let you know, hey, we've been blocked. So that's why our newsletter is so powerful. So go to redacted.inc, sign up for it. It's not .com, it's .inc. You'll receive a welcome email. Make sure you confirm it, and then you'll receive it tomorrow morning when we publish it first thing in the morning. All right, let's talk about what just came down from the Supreme Court, because they will not be blocking Texas from arresting or deporting illegal immigrants. This just this afternoon from the Supreme Court. Now, this is not a final decision. So this is a they're just refusing right now to block Texas from implementing its own criminal law, which lets them arrest illegal immigrants. Imagine that the Biden administration wanted to stop Texas from even doing that. So this was, Texas wants to enforce its own criminal law, rejecting this emergency appeal from the Biden administration, which argued that states can't interfere with federal authority over the border. So the Biden administration is saying, we have authority over the border, you can't arrest people.
And Texas last year had passed Senate Bill 4, which makes it a crime to cross the border outside of ports of entry, punishable by up to 6 months in prison. And repeated offenders could get up to 20 years in prison. The Biden administration took them to court and said, you can't actually do that. Can you imagine? They're using your taxpayer dollars to stop Texas from securing the border. Talk about reverse priorities. And it's us, it's our taxpayer dollars that are being used in court to fight Texas from doing that.
So now this will give them the ability, and these Border Patrol agents, the ability to be able to do this, for ICE to be able to do this, for state troopers, the Texas Rangers to be able to do this, to be able to arrest these individuals for crossing the border. It becomes an illegal zone. Now, will they do it? Do they have the manpower to do it? We'll see. But that's good news. We'll see how far this goes and when we get a final decision on that. But they're not blocking it right now, which is great news for allowing states' rights to defend their own borders. Wonder if other states will now come forward with this as well. Meanwhile, filmmaker Western Linesman has done an amazing job. This has gone viral. I want to play this. I'm curious how many of you have already seen this, but this has gone viral overnight. And it's a filmmaker who put this together. It's an amazing job. And I want you to say something. We'll come out and we're going to talk about all of the pieces of this. But I want you to watch this and see if anything that he's saying in this like 2 minute video is incorrect or wrong about the illegal alien invasion in the United States right now. Watch it. See if you can find anything that's inaccurate. I know the left-wing media is going to definitely try to portray this as fake and propaganda. But watch it. Tell me if you see anything wrong with this video. This is an amazing piece of video. Watch.
The Democrat open borders plan to entrench single-party rule, explained in under 2 minutes. 1. Flood the country with untold millions of illegals by land, sea, and air from all over the world. Enough to eclipse the populations of 36 individual U.S. states so far. 2. Prioritize the needs of these millions of non-citizens over the needs of the American citizen, with free flights, buses, hotels, meals, and phones, ensuring their loyalty to the political party that imported them. 3. Keep them in the country at all costs, even when they commit violent crime like murder and rape. Attack the language used to describe the criminals, as opposed to the criminals themselves. Slander critics as racist. 4. Ensure their privileges are made irrevocable with city and state sanctuary laws that act as population magnets. Codify permanent status and ensure non-cooperation with ICE. 5. Count the non-citizens in the census that will determine congressional apportionment in the House of Representatives. As of now, that would equal 13 extra congressional districts, a tremendous amount of electoral power. 6. Wage a massive, heavily funded lawfare campaign to change state voting laws that legalize mass mail-in ballots, no signature verification, and no proof of citizenship requirements, making it nearly impossible to prove voter fraud. 7. Lock in the permanent voting majority with campaign promises of lavish benefits and permanent privileges, enshrining generational fealty to the Democrat Party. 8. Win elections. 9. Entrenched single-party rule has been achieved. The best part? Your tax dollars are paying for it.
So the Western Lensman who put that together. So can you guys, is there anything wrong in that video? Anything inaccurate that you could flag in there? You can think of. Let's go through it. 1. Flood the country with untold million of illegals.
Check.
Prioritize the needs of millions of non-citizens over the needs of Americans.
Check. And specifically veterans, as we talked about earlier
right.
today.
We literally did a whole segment on that, verifying that earlier. 3. Keep them in the country at all costs, even when they commit violent crimes like murder and rape. Yes. Are they being deported? No, they're not. 4, ensure their privileges are made irrevocable with city and state sanctuary laws that act as a population magnet.
Check.
5, count the non-citizens in the census that will determine congressional apportionment.
Mm-hmm. On that one. We're on that.
6, wage a massive, heavily funded lawfare campaign to change state voting laws. Yep.
Yeah.
7, lock in the permanent voting majority with campaign promises, lavish benefits, permanent privileges. Yep.
Yeah, we're on that one.
8, win elections. 9, keep one-party rule. That's exactly what's happening. You're seeing it in action. There's nothing wrong about that video at all. I mean, it's really amazing. Anyway, good job to the Western Lensman for summing that up in under 2 minutes. Send this video to your friends. If you know anyone who's sort of on the fence about it, send it to them. So I'm like, this is exactly what's happening right now in the United States. Let us know your thoughts on that. All right, let's talk about the royal palace intrigue.
All right, again, we're going to talk about the royal family, and we're going to ask, I love this British saying, what are they playing at? The palace is indicating that all of this Where's Waldo about King Charles and Kate Middleton is Russian disinformation, so much so that the British embassy in Ukraine and in Moscow posted this on X and on Telegram saying, news about King Charles III's death is fake. That's from the official embassy for the UK in those places. So they're using the old Russian disinformation bit to get us to think that it's fake. Ask Bob Mueller how that worked out, or Hillary Clinton, but they're going to use it for the royals. The Daily Mail reports that King Charles was seen today leaving Windsor Castle this morning. And again, the UK embassy in Moscow is saying, no, King Charles is alive. So here's the headline. Cancer-stricken King Charles is spotted leaving Windsor Castle and arriving at Clarence House in London after British embassy in Moscow was forced to furiously deny Russian media claims that monarch passed away unexpectedly. And strangely enough, we have a really high quality image of him. There he is in a car.
They got a close-up.
Really looks like him, not pixelated.
Hey, I recognize that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks almost real.
Wait, you mean to tell me they have a real camera this time?
Yeah. Only it wasn't just Russian media that reported that the king was dead. It was pretty much all of X since Sunday has been saying that there is some big royal announcement. And it's possible that King Charles died. They were saying he died on St. Patrick's Day, which was a real, like, the Irish really got him, you know, getting back at the English. That was the joke. It did not originate in Russia. It was reported in Russia like it was reported everywhere. And in fact, it was first reported on Pakistani media outlet based on a TikTok video that was run by these two American sisters right there. Nothing about that came from Russia. It wasn't Russian, and it wasn't information. What?
it wasn't Russian or information.
But that didn't stop the UK government now, the official embassy, from saying that this was Russian disinformation that makes us wonder where the blip is the king and where the blip is Princess Kate Middleton. They're trying to make us think it's all fake. That's why we think it's not fake. In fact, the media is saying that Russia might have done this because they're mad that the UK talked crap about the presidential elections. Lol. Here's a headline from the Telegraph. It says, this sick stunt about the king being dead involving the monarch followed criticism in Britain and other Western countries of Vladimir Putin's election victory in a rigged presidential election. Do you see how nonsense that is? So first of all, Russia didn't start this. But they're saying they may have started it. They were so hurt that we poo-pooed their elections that they made up a story about the king being dead. That makes literally no sense. Why would they do that?
My favorite part about the Russian disinformation part is it requires zero proof. They don't have to. Not once will they ever come out and go, this was Russian disinformation. And here's all the proof that we have that shows that it was, in fact, Russian disinformation. You can just say it, and then that's it.
Unless you have Hillary Clinton, who invents it with her team and creates a fake dossier. You could call on Hillary Clinton's team to get you to make a no-steal dossier. You could say that they have this in the books. Someone in the chat just said that King Charles had cervical cancer.
Okay. I don't know if they've actually confirmed that or not. I didn't go, but if you say so. Oh, I get it.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Took me a second on that one.
Maybe it's the bug bite that got you.
I know. I might have rabies.
In 2024, you don't even know if a king has cervical cancer.
All right. And yet, Kate Middleton has really not been seen in any kind of satisfactory way. Now, on Monday, video of Kate Middleton was released from her supposed shopping trip to a farm store on Saturday. And the press is saying, we're satisfied. We see the video. She's been found. Your fun is over. Only let's take a look at who they're saying is Kate Middleton. Now, we know on the right is the doctored Mother's Day photo. We know on the left is actually Kate Middleton from last year. And in the center, that's what they're telling us that they're satisfied with. But most normal people are not, because that doesn't look like Kate Middleton. Again, we're going to analyze this, and it's not just because of palace intrigue or we like her pretty clothes, which I do. But I'd like to remind you that the royal family is a taxpayer-funded entity, and they love to remind us that they serve the people. So if a senior royal has been harmed or is otherwise hurt and they're lying about it, we deserve to know, and we deserve to know why the media is complicit. And once they say Russian disinformation, well, that's in my wheelhouse. So I'm going to take a look, because we're not stupid. Now, every time they throw the public a bone on this, where is Kate Middleton? The scandal just feels dirtier and stupider. Is it possible that she's just resting from some non-serious surgery that they were honest with us about? Maybe, but that probability just seems lower and lower.
80 days?
Well, the surgery was January 16th, and they said she would be back by Easter. Now they're saying she may not even be back by Trooping the Colors, which is in June, an annual parade that's in June. Mm. So we're not getting a straight story. Now we get these sort of incongruent, grainy, distant photos of her. Why? So again, I just want to take you back a little, because two Sundays ago was Mother's Day, and we got this published, heavily altered image on the Princess of Wales Instagram account. It became immediately clear this was heavily doctored. People immediately could figure out why. Here is just a couple of circles of all the things that are just not right about this photo. And we were told, oh, you know, she was having planned abdominal surgery in mid-January. And so we were made to think that this is her recently and that she's fine. The next day, the ex-royal account posted this on behalf of the princess saying, oh, yeah, I'm sorry I did that. Sometimes I like to just mess around with Photoshop. I did a bad job. Sorry I confused people. Only nobody bought that, and that raised interest in, well, where actually are you? Why are we getting this doctored photo? Why have we not seen your kids? Why did your kids and your parents not visit you in the hospital? Was this actually planned? And we're not getting real answers. Now, some TikTokers pointed out that the outfits in that photo were similar to the ones they had worn in November, but just altered colors, and they asked for the non-photoshopped version of that photo. The palace refused, and they still refuse. So we can't know if that actually was from a November event. Now, a photo this week, a week before Mother's Day, a photo had been published of her driving with her mom. And then this week we get a different image of her shopping. Now, do those look like the same ladies to you? And further, do either of them look like Kate Middleton?
Well, first of all, keep them up here on the screen. Number one, they don't look like, maybe the one on the left looks slightly like her, but
the one in the car?
Yeah, maybe, but they don't look, the one on the left does not look like the one on the right.
Are they the same people?
No.
Well, the one on the right looks like a younger, I'd say 20 something.
Yeah.
Yes. This woman is, Kate Middleton is 42, I believe. The woman on the right is not 42. She's probably 22, maybe 30 at the oldest. Maybe these are supposedly 2 weeks apart. Do you think somebody who's had surgery, like maybe you get kind of bloated from IV trips? Did she lose? And she did, let's just say, she did lose her baby weight within a month. So has she done that? Go ahead. What do you want
no,
to say?
People in the chat saying maybe it's Pippa, her sister.
A lot of people are saying that it looks like Pippa. Let's look at that video, the video footage posted by TMZ. And we're going to see it. This just rolls on a loop, so I'm going to talk over it. So here they are with TMZ logo over it, walking out of a farm shop. She walks pretty bouncy for how she normally walks. You know, they're smiling, but she does look kind of nervous and like she's going fast. If she is one of many body doubles of Kate Middleton, she looks like she's pretty nervous to be playing the role. Many are saying, we've never seen her carrying shopping bags before. I don't know if that's true or not. Some are saying if she just had abdominal surgery, you don't wear tight pants like that or carry your own groceries. I don't know. Also, in the year 2024, why is that video so grainy? How did she get 20 years younger?
She's using a 10-year-old iPhone. Like when they first rolled out the camera, the video camera on the 3G, the 3GS. Right. Maybe that's someone was still using an iPhone 3GS.
Somebody still running around with their Nokia. Some of them are still running around with their old Nokia flip phone.
Flip phone.
That's obviously a Bigfoot hunter.
Right. Now, several X users have employed AI to unblur the image. And when they did that, they got this.
What?
Now, okay. Whoa. Now, let's just, this is using AI to unblur the image. A still of the image, they got this. So that's not very reliable,
It's a good thing they didn't use Google Gemini, otherwise she'd be black.
Yes, right? And here's another not AI-generated, but still blurry image that clearly is not Kate Middleton. That's what I'm saying. If you would like to say something otherwise, I'm listening. They say that the person who took this was just shopping for a steak, and oh, there's the royal couple. I didn't even know. Let me run to the car and take a video from the car. So, like,
Wait a minute. Hold on. We don't have any confirmation. We just have this person who was shopping takes a video.
Yes.
So we don't actually know. It's not. There's no official statement from the palace.
The palace has not said that this was them. I do think
has anyone else put him under the same scrutiny? Has anybody paused that or anything?
Yes.
I don't think that looks like him either.
Well, let's put it back up, if you don't mind, the last image. And people are saying that he doesn't have that much hair, that he has too much hair coming out. He didn't use Provia, our show sponsor. That he has too much hair coming out from under that hat. He's normally even balder than that. And so I'm not sure if that's him and he's playing along like, I need my fake wife. Let's do this.
They just look like a young couple.
Can you imagine?
20-something couple.
There's like a British couple that's like, wow, we didn't realize all the...
People really think we look like the royal couple.
We were just out shopping this weekend. We have like, nothing to do with the royal family.
Why is everybody staring at me?
Well, okay, but that's another thing, is that if we can roll the footage again, is that easy for you to do? Nobody's staring. So that's also very suspicious that the people behind are just like eating their stuff. They don't even look up.
This creep in the parking lot is...
See the people there? Nobody even looks up. If Kate Middleton and Prince William are walking past you, those people are going to bristle, stare, look. You have to think those people were planted.
Do they go out in public without any kind of security, unlike here in the U.S.? I mean, they're royals. Do they not have to have some kind of security detail at all times?
They do. In fact, Harry just sued the U.K. government to get his security detail back because they removed it from him when he left royal life, and he lost that lawsuit. So absolutely, they're supposed to have security detail. I think maybe we're supposed to think that the two dudes walking behind them... I'm not sure. Now, the person that spoke to the Sun, who said, oh, I have this video, I was just shopping for a steak, isn't that funny? His name is Nelson Silva. We're not quite sure, but people on X think that maybe he's the same Nelson Silva who lives in London and owns a film production company. If that's actually him, owner of the film production company, he's a pretty terrible videographer, wouldn't you say? Now, here are some pundits.
Unless he was paid to be a bad videographer.
Okay, let's play this out, David, because this is your profession. If I wanted you to fake a video like this, and I said, okay, I'm going to go into the butcher, and then you pretend you get me in a furtive way. Is this what you would do? Play that out.
It depends. I mean, if I were paid to do it and they're like, but the footage can't be clear because we know, because this is a different scenario. If I knew it was you, that's different. The footage that we would see would be perfectly clear if it was for sure her, right?
Yeah.
But knowing that it's not, they're trying to make it so that it seems like it's her. So I would like take some Crisco and put it on my lens or something and make it a little foggy.
Crisco.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have to make it look like you're in your own car too.
Yeah. And I have to move, just all you got to do is this a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Like Bigfoot style, like shaky cam, like you're catching a UFO or something, like, yeah. So you can't really tell.
I was going to say, it's like whenever somebody sees a UFO, like they make sure that they drink about 6 Red Bulls and then they film that with a high zoom lens and as shaky as can be.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I want to play some pundits on GB News talking about how terrible this is of a doppelganger and a video.
You know, some people have said it doesn't look like her, but they've only had a few days to find a lookalike or tweak an Android.
I don't know that they have. There must have been lookalikes making a decent living for the last, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. I mean, she's been an international celebrity. There must be high-grade lookalikes you could have got to a farm shop in Windsor.
I have to say, because I don't buy into any of this conspiracy stuff, you know, I don't believe she's been on the moon, or I do think she's still alive, but that... I don't know if they specifically chosen a particularly bad photograph to help feed this conspiracy, but that does not look anything like Kate, and I'm starting to think that doesn't look anything like William either.
I mean, it doesn't just not look like in a sort of, you can see how they were, how they might have thought it, but it looked quite defiantly unlike her.
Yeah,
like quite pointedly unlike her.
It's like when James Bond went away and he came back and he wasn't Scottish anymore.
Like they're defiantly, not even trying.
Like defiantly not her.
Right.
Not just not her, defiantly not her.
We just must keep messing with you, public. Now, again, the palace has never actually said that this was Kate Middleton. They haven't said anything about it, but the Sun is reporting she's happy and healthy. They used those words. And again, because she's so spry, they're reporting that seniors in the palace are saying, look how good she looks. She's going to be back to work in short order, probably even sooner than we expect. That was according to officials quoted by the Sun, not the palace. The palace is probably in full on freak out mode. Why, though? Why won't they just give us the truth? Go ahead, Philip.
Or the palace is everybody's all huddled in there saying, look, this is like expanding our brand. We're popular again. Everybody, she's like hiding in the palace, like everything's fine. But they're like, just keep it going. Just let it keep going because our brand is getting better and bigger again.
Perhaps. But more questions. Where are the children who have not been seen? Why didn't her parents or the children visit her in the hospital? Why can't we get just a straight answer with today's newspaper? Something like that, right? Of a good shot of her. Why this Russian disinformation, when clearly it's not Russian disinformation? And why won't the press take this seriously? The press, instead of actually going out and finding her and reporting this story, they're posting utter nonsense like this. Oh, you know, photos of the late queen were also photoshopped and digitally altered. Now this has really made us aware of this. Here's all the ways the queen was never actually in a room with this many children. I guess because when you're royals, you don't want to be in a room with that many children. Okay, that's fine. Maybe that's true. I don't care. But this is clearly the press is running cover for this story, pretending they're investigating old photos instead of actually going to find what is behind this Where is Kate Middleton story. Why are they doing that? So let us know what your theories are, why you think this is happening, or if you think, no, she's fine, she's just resting, and we're making too much of this. Okay, I want to hear it.
Let us know in the comments below.
I'd like to point out, I learned something new from this. We covered this Monday, and then covering it again today, I thought the entire time we were talking about the couple that did leave the royal family. And it was apparently Harry. I don't even know who Kate Middleton is now.
Harry and Meghan Markle.
Okay.
So this whole time I thought that's who we were talking about. And so then when I was going to ask, because in that video, it's like, well, it looks like they're in England. And I was like, so yeah. I thought those other ones like moved to California or something like that. So I was confused, but now I realize it's because,
you know what I'm thrilled about? I just learned something as well, that there's someone out there more ignorant than I am about the royal family. So Philip, congratulations.
Right, yeah. I got your back, Clayton. I got your back.
It's awesome. I feel good about
way
this.
To legitimately not care at all about the royals. You're like Morrissey, but more.
That's right. Well, let us know in the comments below. We appreciate you guys watching us today. We really appreciate it. And thank you guys so much for being a part of our show. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel. We're here live at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Please subscribe on YouTube, on Rumble, on X, wherever you are. Also on BitChute. We're on BitChute as well. Please subscribe over there. And we'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So have a great night, everyone. We know what she's doing. Going royal hunting. And
busy.
I'm gonna go bug hunting. We'll see you guys later. Bye, everyone.